We've arrived at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Next week, we start the book of Titus. But this week, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, probably the last words written by Paul. For 2 Timothy was his last letter, and it was written shortly before he was put to death by the edict of Caesar Nero. This morning, we'd like to look at verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 4, where Paul declares that my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul, writing to his faithful son Timothy, who was at Ephesus. Paul was in prison in Rome. And at the first hearing that Paul had before Nero, things were looking very dark. In fact, so dark that all of the companions of Paul forsook him. They wouldn't stand with him at this trial. Earlier he had written, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world more than the things of God. And he spoke of how the different ones had gone to different places. And he said that at my first answer, the first hearing, no man stood with me, for all forsook me. Things were not looking good. Paul realizes that his life is about over. He said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. He wrote, the time of my departure is at hand. The word departure in Greek is a very interesting word. It has the idea of pulling up the tent stakes, moving on. And Paul is saying, I'm about to pull up the tent stakes and move on. The time of my departure is at hand. But I fought a good fight, and I have finished now my course, and I have kept the faith. In Proverbs 17:17, Solomon said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. As we go through life, we will discover that we have many acquaintances, but we have very few true friends. A friend loveth at all times, good or bad. But when you come into real adversity, you find out who your true friends really are. When you really get down and you're really needing help, it's amazing how so many people that were your acquaintances, you thought were your friends. But now you call upon them and suddenly they're busy and they can't return the calls and they just can't be bothered anymore because things aren't going well with you. There are many who will hang around as long as you are prospering, as long as things are going well. When a person wins the lottery, it's surprising how many of his old friends suddenly come around again. There were many who had traveled with Paul, his companions in journey. But now, as Paul is condemned, they begin to forsake him, to depart. Paul said, none stood with me, but they all forsook me. This is just one of the sad facts of life. People like to be around when you're successful, when you're popular, when you're prosperous. But so often, when there are reverses, they're no longer to be found. David was a very popular king. People were excited because under David's reign, there was tremendous prosperity in Israel. But when his son Absalom rebelled, and because the numbers of people that joined with Absalom, it appeared that David would be overthrown. It appeared that there was no way that David could face the army that Absalom had raised. And so as Absalom approached the city of Jerusalem, David decided rather than to have a battle at Jerusalem, he would leave the city. And it's amazing how few people actually went with David when it was really looking like it was the end. There were so many that defected and went over to Absalom's side because it looked like Absalom was going to win, and they wanted to be on the winning side. And people are often that way, fickle. They want to be on the winning side, and so they watch to see how the tide is flowing, and they want to be on that side that is going to win. Even David's close friend and advisor, Ahithophel, went over to Absalom's side. And he began to advise Absalom in how to destroy David. And David, writing of that later in Psalm 55, said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me." I could have taken that. "Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. I would have hid myself from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked into the house of God in company." I can't believe, Ahithophel, that you would become an enemy to me, that you would forsake me in this hour of desperation and need. If you've ever been deserted in your time of great need, then you know exactly how Paul was feeling at this moment as he is writing to Timothy. "At my first hearing, none stood with me, but they all forsook me." And what a horrible feeling that is, to feel like you've been left alone. No one is standing with you. They've all deserted. We should perhaps take note concerning Jesus, how that when he was arrested, it said, "And they all forsook him and fled." Jesus had told his disciples that night, "All of you are going to be offended tonight because of me." Because the scripture says, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And so it happened. Mark tells us in chapter 14 that when they arrested Jesus, that they all forsook him and fled. Someone has said, you have to be alone before you can realize that you are never alone. Paul said, "They all forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." None of them would stand, but the Lord stood with me. It seems like in the hour of discouragement, the Lord was always there to stand with Paul. Paul's ministry was destined for continual adversity. When Paul was converted, the Lord said, "And I will show to him the things that he must suffer for my sake." And if any man suffered for the cause of Christ, it was Paul, more probably than any other man in the history of the church. When he was first converted at Damascus, and he began to preach there at Damascus, there was created sort of a riot in the city, and they had to let Paul down at night in a basket over the wall that he might escape from the Jews that were laying wait for him. An inglorious way to depart from a city where you've been ministering. In Lystra, it was a little worse. They stoned him and they drug him out of the city thinking that he was dead. When he took the gospel to Europe, the first stop was Philippi, where Paul was beaten and thrown into the inner prison and placed in the stocks. When he was released from prison in Philippi, he went on to Thessalonica. And there in Thessalonica, again, they created problems and Paul had to leave the city by night. And he went from Thessalonica to Berea, and there in Berea, again, when problems arose, he had to leave under subterfuge. Arriving in Athens, they rejected his testimony there. So Paul went on to that wicked city of Corinth. And by this time, he probably was getting a little gun-shy. Thrown in prison, had to escape at night, had to escape under subterfuge, rejected. And he was alone because he had to send Timothy back to Thessalonica along with Silas to strengthen the brothers there. And so as he was there in Corinth waiting for them, perhaps he was wondering, Lord, did I make a mistake coming to Europe? Look what's happened to me. And this city of Corinth is so wicked, so horribly wicked. And it would appear that perhaps he had decided just to keep silent. I'm not going to stir up any trouble here. And yet, Paul writes, "Then spake the Lord to me in the night by a vision, be not afraid. But speak, hold not your peace, for I am with you." And so in that dark hour, in this pagan city, all alone, fearful of speaking out for Jesus Christ, the Lord came to him at night and said, "Paul, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't hold your peace, for I am with you. Standing with you, Paul, and no man will set on thee to hurt thee." That was probably his fear. For the Lord said, "I have many people in this city." Having preached then in Corinth, Paul went to the city of Ephesus. And after 3 years of ministry in Ephesus, Demetrius the silversmith stirred up the people, and they began to riot against Paul. They gathered in the great arena there in Ephesus, in the amphitheater. And Paul was going to go in, but his friends would not let him. They said, "Paul, they'll tear you apart in there." And so Paul left Ephesus again under tremendous duress and strain. And finally, Paul arrived in Jerusalem. When he was first converted, he wanted to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to share the gospel with his former friends, cohorts, buddies. He said, "Lord, I know them. They know me. They know how zealous I was. They know how I was determined to destroy the church. And Lord, I know I can convince them that you're the Messiah. I know that I can show them out of the scriptures, and surely, you know." And the Lord said, "Paul, they won't accept you. they won't accept you. But Paul was determined to try. And so he has finally come to Jerusalem. And he is just quietly worshiping in the temple when some of the people from Asia who had heard Paul on his missionary journeys saw him in the temple. And they began to cry out, "Men, brethren, this fellow who is stirring up the Gentiles against Jewry is here in the temple." And they grabbed Paul and they began to beat him to death. Well, the Roman guard that was there in the Antonio fortress saw the commotion, and they sent the Roman troops down who delivered Paul from the Jews who were trying to beat him to death. And as they brought him under the custody of the Roman soldiers to the Antonio fortress, when he was standing on the platform, the porch above the Temple Mount, he said to the captain of the guard, "Can I speak to these people?" And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And so Paul began to speak to them in Hebrew. And he said, "I understand why you guys wanted to beat me up." He said, "I was just like you. I wanted to destroy those that believed in Jesus Christ. I know exactly where you are. I'm one of you. I was there. I was with you. And I was persecuting and wasting the church. And the chief priest, he can tell you, he gave me letters of authority to go and arrest those that were calling upon the name of Jesus in other cities." And he began to testify of his conversion on the road to Damascus. But as he got to that point where the Lord said, "No, you can't go to Jerusalem, they won't receive you, but I'm sending you to the Gentiles," when he said the word Gentiles, the place just erupted. They began to throw dirt in the air. They began to scream. They began to tear their clothes. They tried to rush the Antonio fortress. They said, "Kill him! Kill him!" And the captain of the guard said to the soldiers, "Get him inside." And so they took Paul inside for safekeeping. And the captain said, "Scourge him. Find out what he said." Because Paul was talking in Hebrew, they didn't understand it. And so as they were preparing Paul to be scourged, he said to the executioner, he said, "Is it lawful to scourge a Roman citizen who has never been charged with a crime?" He said, "Just a minute." And he went to the captain. He said, "Did you know that that fellow's a Roman citizen?" And the captain came back and he said to Paul, "Are you a Roman citizen?" Paul said, "You bet I am." He said, "I bought my citizenship." Paul said, "I was free born." Well, they didn't scourge Paul, but he was put in prison for safekeeping. And that night, probably a night of tremendous discouragement. You see, his lifelong dream had been to share the gospel with his former friends, his former buddies, the guys he went to college with. That was his lifelong dream. If I can just share Jesus Christ with them, the experiences that I've had, the power of the gospel, I know that I can convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. But rather than convincing, it ended in a horrible riot. And they're screaming out, "Kill him, kill him." And that's probably just in the darkness of the night, just haunting him. Seeing those guys that he went to school with, those that were his fraternity brothers, crying out, "Kill him, kill him." And so while Paul was there that night, he said the Lord actually spoke to him. And the night following the tumult, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For you have testified of me here in Jerusalem, and you must also testify of me in Rome." It's not over. Paul probably thought this is the end, all over. The Lord said, "No, you did it. You know, you wanted to, you did it." I told you it wouldn't work, but you did it, you know. And be of good cheer. Cheer up, Paul. You've testified of me now here in Jerusalem, and you must also testify of me in Rome. The Lord stood by him in that night of discouragement. Now, as Paul is finally on his way to Rome some 2 years later, he is going as a prisoner because the tumult that was created there in Jerusalem is not yet over. He was charged with disruption, creating a riot, insurrection against Rome. And he is being sent now to Rome. And as they are getting ready to leave Crete, Paul warns them and says, you know, fellas, it's too late in the year to set sail. I recommend that, you know, we just winter here and then wait for the spring before we move on or set sail for Rome. But it was a beautiful morning. There was just a gentle breeze, and the captain says, well, let's go for it, you know. And so they set sail. And before the day was over, a horrible storm, sort of like a hurricane, came up. And for 14 days, this ship was being tossed there in the Mediterranean. They had done everything to keep the ship afloat. They had emptied out all of the cargo. They had taken every means possible. But after 14 days, the raging seas, not even seeing the sun for 14 days. They had no way to know where they were. They were just driven. The mast had been broken, and they had just been driven by the seas, by the raging seas for 14 days. And then we read that after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete, and you wouldn't have had this great harm and loss. But I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall not be the loss of any man's life among you, will only lose the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul, because you have to appear before Caesar. And lo, God has given to you all of those that are sailing with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, because I believe God. Here in the storm, when they had given up hope of ever surviving, that dark, dark night, the Lord stood with him. Paul said, all of my friends have departed. They all forsook me. However, the Lord stood with me. And now as Paul is appearing before Nero again, only the Lord is standing with him. But you know, the Lord always stands with his servants when they're going through those difficult trials, those dark nights of their lives. It is in those times that you often experience the presence, the comfort of the Lord standing with you. I think of the three Hebrew children who refused to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's great image that he had placed in the plains of Dura. And how that Nebuchadnezzar said, fellows, I understand that you did not bow. I'll give you one more chance. And if you don't bow, I'll have you cast into the burning fiery furnace. And they answered Nebuchadnezzar and said, King, we're not even careful how we answer you, because the Lord that we serve is able to deliver us out of your burning fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Made Nebuchadnezzar so mad, he ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. They tied these three fellows up and threw them into that burning fiery furnace. So hot it was that the men who threw them in were all snuffed out, suffocated, died. And then as King Nebuchadnezzar looked into that burning fiery furnace, he said, "How many did we throw in there?" And they said, "Three." He said, "How come I see four walking around in the midst of the fire, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God?" The Lord was with him in the burning fiery furnace. He called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Come out of there." And they three came walking out. The only thing that was burned were the ropes by which they were bound, not even a hair of their head singed. The old king said, "There's no God in all the world like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." But then Daniel, when the Babylonian kingdom fell and Darius, the king of the Medes, began to reign, he loved Daniel, this old man who was so wise, and used him as a counselor. And Darius was deceived by some of the men into signing a decree by which they were intending to trap Daniel, and it worked. The king signed a decree that no one could pray to any God or to anybody for 30 days except for the king himself. All petitions had to be brought to Darius. And so they knew Daniel's faithfulness in prayer. Daniel knew the king had signed the decree, but he went to his home, opened the windows towards Jerusalem, and prayed, and they came back and reported him to the king, and the king realized that he had been snookered by these guys. He tried all day to find a loophole. There was none. They were very careful the way they wrote the law. And so the king comforted Daniel. He said, "Daniel, the God that you serve is able to deliver you from the lion's mouths." So they threw Daniel into the lion's den. And that night the king couldn't sleep. He spent a sleepless night thinking about Daniel. How could I have done that to such a wonderful man? And he was getting angry at these guys who had deceived him and tricked him. And in the morning, he rushed out to the lion's pit. And he called down, it says, in a lamentable voice, "Oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve able to deliver you?" And he said, "Peace, king. God sent an angel who stopped the mouths of the lions, and I'm okay. Give me a rope. Get me out of here." And so the Lord was with him in the lion's den. The Lord will not forsake his people. The Lord stands by his people, stands with his people in the greatest trials of life, in the darkest night, in those times of discouragement or abandonment. The Lord is there. Through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41:10, the Lord said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And again, the Lord said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire," and he was probably prophesying of these three Hebrew children, which came after Isaiah wrote this, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The answer to the fear was always, "I am with you." David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Today you might feel as Paul. You've been deserted. You're standing alone. And the future seems to be so uncertain. It seems like there's no one there to help. Maybe you've been deserted by your husband. Maybe you've been deserted by your wife. And you feel so helpless and so forlorn and not really knowing where to turn or what to do. Jesus will stand with you in this dark night. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." It may be that the one you loved has forsaken you, has left you. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." The prophet Azariah came to King Asa, and he said to him after the victory over the Ethiopians, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you will be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you." What great comfort. The Lord is with you. All that's necessary is that you will be with him. If you want to be with him, he'll be with you. All you have to do is seek him. And if you seek him, the prophet said, he will be found of you. In Proverbs, we read, "A man, in order to have friends, must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. And though all may forsake, he will never forsake you." Paul said, "At my first hearing, none stood with me. They all forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." What we need is the consciousness of his presence with us. And that comes in that dark night of discouragement, of fear, of anxiety, as we feel so desperate and sort of at the end of the proverbial rope, we don't know where to turn. We feel that all have forsaken. It's in that time that you'll discover his presence. "The Lord stood with me." And that's all I need. He's all I need. As long as I know that the Lord is standing with me, I can face the trials of tomorrow, the uncertainties of the future. Like someone said, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. He'll stand with me and see me through." Father, we thank you that we have such wonderful assurance that you will be with us. You'll see us through the deep water, the fiery trials, the dark nights. And though all forsake, you will not forsake us. Hold us up, Lord. When we think that we're going to go under, when we think that we can't take any more, we're going down, Lord, sustain, hold us with your right hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Notice there were a couple of conditions. The Lord is with you if you will be with him. He needs the invitation. He's not going to force himself on you. He needs the invitation. Lord, help me. That's all. Lord, help me. And when you give him that invitation, you'll find that he'll be there to take you by the hand, to hold you up, to sustain you, and to see you through. If you seek him, he will be found of you. To Jeremiah, he said, "And in the day that they seek me with all of their heart, in that day I will be found of them." And so if you seek him with all your heart, he'll be found of you. Today, if you are facing some heavy-duty kind of situations, and you feel like everybody's sort of deserted you, you're standing alone, I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Pastors will be back there to pray with you. Call on the Lord. Ask him to help you. Ask him to be with you. Seek the Lord. You'll find him. And you'll find that he'll stand with you and see you through.